men, boys, and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment, shenanigans alike. Welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I don't know who I am after watching this film. I don't know if I have a name. I'm a co-host.
Who were you to start with?
A co-host.
And I'm John a Lobster. Fall back in time with Legends Podcast. All month long, we're talking time travel, paradoxes, and running a temporal pincher movement. This is Chronovember. Christopher Nolan has been playing with time in past films like Memento, Inception, and Interstellar, and with nuclear bombs in his future film, Oppenheimer. For his 2020 film, Nolan plays with both big ideas in a story about a temporal Cold War, with protagonists and antagonists moving forwards and backwards in time to prevent slash cause the end of the world. Starring John David Washington, Robert Pattinson, Elizabeth Debicki, and Kenneth Branagh, the film was highly anticipated but suffered repeated delays due to the COVID-19 pandemic. When it was finally released as the first major film after the pandemic, a muddy audio mix marred the theatrical experience. The move by Warner Brothers to simultaneously release their entire 2021 film slate on HBO Max strained Nolan's long-standing relationship with the studio, prompting him to move to rival Universal for his next film. We're ending Chronovember with Tenet, or is it just the beginning?
Yes, it is.
Or is it the end?
And you did that all so well. You only one fumble. I'm impressed.
There were a couple fumbles, but that's all right.
I only heard one. Paid attention to one.
We're not counting.
After I go through the proving window, I'll come out and I'll realize where I made a mistake. And then I'll tell myself and then go backwards.
So my last word on this is silver capsule.
You wanted to take that silver capsule early and often.
And often.
So this is the first. Is this the first time you've both seen this?
No, I've seen it a couple of times.
I feel like this. Okay, so I saw this movie over two nights because it's 2.5 hours long. I started it late. I mean, you know, it was Thanksgiving weekend. We've all been kind of busy and doing shit. And I had my mother-in-law over. We were entertaining her. So we all had shit to do. So I started kind of late on Monday. And then, thank God, we pushed the recording to Wednesday because I was able to see the last hour last night. So it's not the kind of film you want to split because you kind of have to be into it the whole time.
This movie, I like it more and more the more I watch it. Because when it first came out, I had high hopes to go see it in the theater. And I remember hearing that the audio mix was so shitty. There were so many complaints about it. So I'm like, all right, I'll just wait and I'll buy it. And I watched it the first time and I liked it. I was intrigued. But that at the end, I was like, that's it. And then I found myself thinking about it for the next few days. And then I found myself looking online and watching videos. And then I watched it again, and I liked it even more with that little bit more of insight. And this is the third or fourth time I watched it, and I thoroughly enjoyed it this time through because I actually felt for these characters. It's hard to feel for them on your first or second watch through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's hard to tell the story from the front to back and have it work and have you care about these people.
The other thing is that I feel that the main character, also known as the protagonist, he's not very charismatic. Oh. Like, it's hard for me to care about him because he never, like, held the screen like, you know, some of the other well-known actors would have. I had a hard time really caring about him.
I kind of like him not being anyone we know, right? Like, it makes it more... It just makes it more realistic, I guess, not having a face that we know in there for a fresh story like this.
Well, we do know him, and we're going to get to know him better, I think, as time goes on. But he's Denzel Washington's son.
Right, but I don't think I saw him in much before this at all.
Okay.
That's what I mean.
So, two things about this movie that are...
See, Denzel would have acted the shit out of this role.
Right, and then it would have been about him, and I kind of like that this movie
He's a very effective audience surrogate in this film because he's not Denzel, right? He's not sort of filling the screen. He's not Christian Bale, Leonardo DiCaprio, who was in Memento. Was it Guy Pearce? He's Tom Hardy, right? Sort of like Nolan's go-tos. Cillian Murphy, who's going to be in Oppenheimer. Really like a real mesmerizing actor that captures and holds.
Yeah, but I feel like he went so far in the opposite direction that he lost me.
But he still had charisma. He still had...
Could wear the hell out of a suit.
He could definitely wear the hell out of a suit. I thought that worked for him.
It worked for him because they brought it to our attention.
And I like that he's playing off of...
Pattinson.
I'm not going to say better actors, but like... Pattinson and Branagh and a scene with Michael Caine.
You just said it right there. You just proved my point. The fact that Pattinson can out-act this guy tells you what a black hole of just no talent, not talent, but just like he's so forgettable. I thought I would have a problem with that,
but I like it. I like him being the any man. He is the quintessential CIA agent. He is a dude that can get lost in the crowd right after he beats the shit out of four people, steals the documents, and murders two of them.
Right. And you're operating under the thesis that Robert Pattinson is not a good actor, which I would dispute. So, like, I think we're already starting apples and oranges.
Let's get into some other stuff. Enough, we know our points on John David Washington. Leggy Blonde, I do like her in this.
Okay, so Elizabeth Debicki, right? Right now she's in The Crown. She was in The Night Manager, where a CIA everyman ghost character...
When did that come out?
Well, that came out... A couple of years before, 2014-ish, maybe?
No.
Yeah, Night Manager was way early.
16.
2016? Okay. So, 4 years before. So, the fact that, like, that show is about him infiltrating the wealthy arms dealer's yacht and, like, hanging out and then getting in good with him and then... things happening and
I'd drama. Have to watch that again, but now I want to.
And she's the same character. Good. She's in like the relationship with the guy, but then it's Tom Hiddleston and the Night Manager, but like gets like a thing with her and it's a whole thing. And so that I'm like, it's the same actress. And this is very much the same vibe. But
imagine Idris Elba playing this role.
You don't want that guy in the role.
I'd be following him a lot closer.
Not every leading man starts out as a leading man. You have to fucking start somewhere. And I thought he did great.
No, but most leading men, when you see them on camera, they have that it quality that captures your attention. He does not have that.
I think there's a narrative reason to explain what Rum Daddy is feeling, but to also prove Beef and I right, which is this movie is not about who he is.
I understand that.
Who he's going to become. And we learn at the end of the film that he is the guy who created Tenet. He's the guy who recruited Neil, who set all of this in motion, set up...
Neil is her kid, by the way, right?
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
You haven't watched any of the YouTube shit?
No, I didn't watch the YouTube conspiracy. Here is...
No, because they point out a lot of shit, and shit that I didn't really notice in between watching one and two, or two and three.
The string on his backpack is her necklace or something?
No, but the string on his backpack, I mean, you see that, so you follow him. They show the stuff when they go to the carport and like they show diagrams of different cars and different people going forwards and backwards. So Sator has all the info. It's just interesting how you see it if other people point out. But yeah, the boy has to be him. I mean that.
No, the boy is definitely him. Yeah.
Robert Pattinson dyed his hair, and he never does.
From his point of view, they've known each other for years.
Yes. They,
but they just met.
Basically, River Songed their relationship.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Because right at the very end, he's like, I get this as the beginning of a beautiful friendship or something about the end of one. He says,
this is the end of a beautiful friendship, which is a turn of a phrase on Casablanca.
Yes.
And he knows that he has to go back in because he's the one who picks the lock to let them in, but he's also the body that they see on the ground, so he took the bullet for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boom.
Weird.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
No, I watched... Okay, so I watched Tenet for the second or third time. I think it was the third time I've seen it. And then I went in and I watched the YouTube videos that explained the different timelines and how everything worked. And now my head hurts more than it did before I started.
But now when you watch it again, you start seeing what they point out, right? Because all those things start to fall into place. Like, oh, I see. That's the extra car they were talking about or this or that. The double talk in the movie is amazing. Like all the quick, you know, like it's lonely at dusk or whatever. And just like the, when they slip a tenant in and they cross their hands and shit, like that's like, it felt real spy-like.
An obscure tenant.
Right. You know, as he does it under his clipboard. And the chick, there's a theory that that chick he meets, that is the actual scientist that created the thing.
Oh, okay.
But, there's also a
line she doesn't
that
seem
it.
To have any. The one studying the artifacts,
the pieces, And then there's a line later says
first time when he goes in and she says, "We the less we know about each other, the better. Let's just talk about what's at hand."
Yeah,
she's the one who is working backwards and has split. And by the way, once you put all those nine pieces together, doesn't it look like part of an engine? Like just
like a crankshaft or something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a crankshaft. I'm like, I feel like they could have come up with a better design than a crankshaft. So,
yeah, I mean that was clearly just the MacGuffin, but it was more about getting shit done and having him work backwards through time. And I thought it was kind of dumb the you got to breathe inverted air thing. But it was a way to identify people traveling forwards or backwards.
I guess. I don't know. The scene, like half the movie, everyone's wearing like full face masks.
Yeah, and helmets at the end of the siege or whatever.
And I guess you're supposed to kind of know who everybody is.
Well, that's why they had the blue team and the red team.
Yeah. And then they're fighting against people who are also going forwards and backwards.
And they're fighting against themselves.
That whole end part was just to watch some cool explosions and stuff go backwards and
forwards and backwards. Yeah. They blow up a building twice, right? They blow it up forwards
the base
and backwards.
And then the base and then the top. Yeah.
And then it comes back together and then explodes again in different. Or is that a different building?
I think it's the
same building.
Oh, the
dude,
though? It
was the same building because the camera didn't cut.
The guy that was running backwards in time or whatever, and then, like, the building closed on him. The explosion closed on him.
So what does that mean? Is he stuck in the wall, or is he just in the room?
I think he
got crushed by the wall.
I thought he got crushed, yeah. Or you're trapped in some negative space in concrete, and no one's going to hear you yelling. I would rather die right away.
I guess.
See, now you're having problems with it.
Oh, I have a ton of problems with this movie. It makes no sense.
I do too, but I like it more and more every time I watch it.
If you turn off that part of your brain and accept that you can drive a car forwards while going backwards, then fine. Like, everything's inverted but you, right? Or you're inverted and everything else is going... Like, I don't know.
Some stuff you can't wrap your head around, but it's still a fun flick again, if you watch some of these things, it's...
And I guess that the movie ends the day it started, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a thing that happens.
When they go, okay, so when they're, after she gets shot and they go through the turnstile and they have to go back to the Freeport, they pass him in the thing on the way out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like all these little things that they pass each other and I don't know. It's cool.
Which
to
I
see
guess
that.
If you're going to crash an airplane into a building,
you might as well use it twice.
Use it twice, right? Right. Get the most mileage out of it.
Well, that part was
$200 million budget on this, by the way.
That was pretty cool, though, seeing them run like in that scene backwards, you know, like to push the cart and then to watch it again later in the movie and see the shit that you didn't notice before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I found that interesting.
I do want to, like, the thing about this film is I do want to see it again.
I think it holds up on rewatch. I've seen it a couple of times.
You got to just give us like 6 months at least, a 6 month buffer.
And if you switch off your brain.
No, again, actually have to see it again immediately afterwards because that's when you're going to remember all the things and you're going to be looking for that stuff.
Or
if
watch
you wait
the YouTube
6 months,
video
it's like watching it all over again.
Yeah.
Watch the YouTube video that tells you about it.
Yeah.
I think it works on the level too of if you kind of turn off your brain. And if you do like the actors who are in it, then there's sort of that. There are some really good scenes. I think it's a shame that it's a shame that this movie was sort of botched in the audio mix. Which again, I watched it at home with headphones, so I didn't have trouble. But I think the dialogue is actually pretty good. Nolan doesn't write fantastic dialogue. It sort of has its own, it's almost like watching an Aaron Sorkin thing. It's got its own sort of rhythm to it, and the characters don't really talk the way people talk.
No,
but it's good. Like, it is fine on its own.
I've never watched it without the subtitles on.
I watched it with the subtitles on this time, and it helped a lot. And I usually, like, for a big movie, I'll have it go through, like, my subwoofer and the audio bar so it fills up, like, the room and everything. And this movie was easier to pay attention if I turned that off and just listened to the TV speakers.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's easier to pay attention to. It does lose a lot of the signature Christopher Nolan sound work. Right, because most of his stuff, Interstellar, shit like that, there is really good sound effects.
And music. Like, the music in this is
the four
Ludwig
truck,
Göransson. Yeah,
the four truck heist scene where it's like wah wah wah, and it just builds that whole time when the other trucks are. It's amazing. But
I'd like to hear the soundtrack backwards. I'm not joking.
They tell you all
the
secrets.
Just play it backwards, because I feel like he used a lot of backward instrumentation.
Neil is Cat's son. Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
Yes, Neil is Cat's son. At least that's the theory.
Is there the desire for a sequel?
Yes.
Would it be a sequel or a prequel?
It would be a sequel, but it would probably both. But
depending on whose perspective.
Yeah.
Depending on whose perspective you follow.
But knowing Christopher Nolan, he would make it a prequel that's actually a sequel
prequel. I think he wanted to do three. But I mean, just the thing that Neil said, he's like weaving another past into the fabric of this mission. Mm-hmm. You know, and then his the walk-off line, he's like, you have a future in the past, years ago for me, years from now for you. And then think of this as an end of a beautiful friendship. I love that. I love that. And then just the way he says, yeah, we get up to some stuff and smiles. Mm-hmm. It's like there is this heartfelt, like, I don't know.
It's like the end of Bill and Ted where they're like, oh, you're going to have a blast, man.
I really want to see them develop that friendship because if it is Cat's son, that means he stays around for years to become his friend.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like not just... I don't know. Maybe I don't know. And that's at the very end of the first time I watched it, I was a little disappointed in everything, but that's like the stories I was thinking about. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about the stuff they didn't show you. So I want a sequel.
What's Sir Michael Caine? Do you think he's old Neil?
He could be. No, I don't know how that would work. I don't think you can do it like
Neil
that.
No, because Neil gets killed. Neil dies at that age. He dies right after we see him at the end. No, he does, because he gets shot and they find his body and he's dead.
But does he?
I don't know. Yeah, I think you're right, but there's, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I just want to see it. Maybe there's a way to, you know, split yourself in one of these timey-wimey machines.
Well,
maybe
you, not. Yeah, there are, because we've established that at least at one point there's like six different Neils running mm-hmm. around, because it keeps going through the different machines. Mm-hmm. And it's, they don't splinter into another timeline. They're mm-hmm. all within each other's timeline. They're just existing along the same place.
Don't go in the machine if you don't see yourself come out.
Right.
Yeah, and then like the way that they militarized the turnstiles, it wasn't a mm-hmm. room. It was like dude yeah. size, like, you yeah. know, conveyor a big belt. Wheel.
Yep.
It felt very like steampunkian, because, you know, there were like six gaskets or sprockets.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing that I had a problem with as an editor. I feel like there were scenes that were cut out and they were never bridged. So there were a lot of moments that something would happen and then the camera would slam edit into another time. For example, when they were on the boat, there were two edits where they were having a conversation that you didn't get the sense of passage of time, because they just, at one point, Pattinson says, go to sleep, and he lays down, and then the next cut is the protagonist sitting there talking to Pattinson. So, like, all this time went... Mm-hmm. But it was a slam cut where you're just like, you're jarred and you're like, wait a minute, where am I? So you have, there were several times in the film where that happened, where they just like, I feel like scenes were pulled and they didn't do like an exterior of the boat or something and then come back in. They just slam cut to the next one. And I feel like that was cheap.
I guess I didn't notice it. I did like the kind of, meltdown. What's the Chernobyl? The Chernobyl feeling of his hometown, his rise to power, finding something in mm-hmm. the rubble of disaster.
The secret city.
Yeah.
Well, and that, so he's digging stuff up, searching for plutonium, and that's how he gets his fortune, is it's in something he digs up.
Right.
That was sent by his future self or future benefactors to give him an advantage.
Yeah, and I think give him advantage, and then he probably rolled that into his construction company and, you know, made that bigger, and they kept sending him money.
So is he a self-made man somehow?
No, I don't think it's...
Maybe. He thinks so.
Okay.
Yeah true.
But dude, that boat. Who that would not boat. Want to have that fucking boat?
I would
boat?
Kill for that boat.
It's a nice boat. It's a good ship.
Crew of what? Crew of 70?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Helicopter.
But I love that she had the wherewithal to put tanning lotion
yes.
mm-hmm. on the and deck.
And water it
and
down
then put
a little
water
bit.
On it.
Yeah.
And just slip and slide
and undo
his
own. Undo the chain. Yeah.
Just to slip and slide him on out of there.
I like when she's like, I couldn't wait. She's fucking murders him.
Yep.
Do you want to quick mention your square?
Oh, right. So the Sator Square is an actual historical artifact. So I think the earliest one dates
Greece,
back
right?
to first century Rome. And so it's a square of, and if you're a fan of Wordle, you'll appreciate this. So it's five letter words. So it's Sator, Arepo, Tenet, Opera, and Rotas. And no matter which way you look at it, so you can look at it across, you can look at it up and down, or if you take like the word tenet, it crosses in the middle. Yeah, it's just
it's fun.
A cool depiction. And if you look at the film, there's a character named Sator, a character named Arepo. Tenet is the name of the organization. The opening scene's an opera house, and Sator's company is called Rotas.
Very nice. Should we do the thing?
Mm-hmm. Let's do the thing.
Our lifelong mission, financed and guided by the future, has been to find and rate this movie. For Tenet, are you going legendary?
The beginning is the end is the beginning.
Legend of its time.
Legend of time travel.
Cult legend.
So I didn't write this. I actually found it. It's a palindromic haiku. It's called Physical Sciences 1, Physics, by Anthony Etherin. Deep's task wraps time. Snort. Celestial plates, electrons, emit sparks at speed.
And now read it backwards.
Deep's task wraps time. Snort. Celestial plates, electrons, emit sparks at speed.
There it is.
Wow.
That's fun. Awesome.
Perfect tenet.
Entertaining.
What's happened, happened.
Mayable.
Meffled.
Forgettable.
Here's another palindrome. Reviled did I live, said I, as evil I did deliver.
Abysmal?
The end is the beginning is the end.
Spring Breakers D&D.
A movie called Palindromes, which apparently is not good.
With a side of nostalgia, guilt, the nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle barf tears.
With a side of, huh?
Who wants to go first?
What'd you say? What'd you say? What did he say?
You go ahead first, Lobster.
Ooh, me?
Yes. Lobster, the guy that never goes first.
I'm going to give it the perfect tenet, which you would think would be the highest rating, but it's right in the middle because palindrome. It's awesome. I think this movie is an awesome film. It is fun to watch visually. I really like the cast. It's such a fun interpretation of using a time travel quirk, which is you can't jump to a place in time. You can either go forwards or backwards, but by going forwards or backwards at different points, you can then start to manipulate the time stream, which is kind of cool. So
how old is he actually, right? How many years has he lived back and forth? Even if it's only been 10 years time, he might be.
Yeah. That's a really good question. Yeah. So I'll give this a perfect tenet.
Because, I mean, if you go forward 1 month and then you go back the same month and go forward, it's interesting. We'll let Krabby Pants finish this out.
Sure, go ahead, Beef.
I really want to say a perfect tenet with a side of huh, but I mean, I'm almost kind of going culty on it because the more I watch it, the more I like it, and the more I give a shit about these characters, who at first, I will admit, I did not really give a shit about. But you care about them the more you see the struggle, you see the little bits and pieces, the twists and turns, the folds in the time stream. I do want more. If Nolan does not ever, if he finally decides to not ever make the sequel or two sequels he hoped to, I hope he sells his ideas to like a graphic novel person or a comic book person or an anime. I would love to see this stuff, this idea, this concept played with more and this story finished. Because I have a lot of fun with it. After I didn't think I would. The sound is amazing. The audio sucks.
How is the sound amazing and the audio suck?
Because the music and shit, when it's action scene or a suspenseful scene, it ramps up and it does what it's supposed to. It makes you excited for what's coming up or scared or anxious or whatever. Just the vocals suck. So subtitles. Anyways,
the most important part.
Yeah, well, especially in a twisty timey, you need exposition movie. Subtitles. What about you, Rum Daddy?
I think this has been the most difficult movie I've had to rate yet. Because for every cause, there is an effect. And for every positive, there's an incredible negative, as much as there is an incredible positive. So as much as I want to give it a cult legend, because it is definitely one of these movies that you walk away and it sparks conversation and you talk about it endlessly, like we are doing right now. I mean, we could sit and talk about this movie and argue about it for hours if we need to or if we want to. It has spawned all sorts of videos and on YouTube and articles written about it and people questioning it. It does crazy things with with the visuals where you see people going backwards and forwards in the same shot. There is so much planned out, so many Easter eggs of scenes happening, and you don't realize that the exact same scene is happening from a different point of view way in the background, right, or even sometimes in the foreground. It's used locations that I've never seen before, like the wind farms in the ocean, in the Indian Ocean. But then the other half of me is like, is this just Nolan stroking himself off, trying to be too clever, trying to be too good for his own sake? Is this a lot of wavy hands to try and cover up the lack of good, decent storytelling? So I've never been more torn between giving it a Mabel and giving it a cult legend. And I guess what this film is about is that trying to find the middle ground, the middle state of where it lays. So I'm going to give it, because it's not an awesome film, because it doesn't keep you like rooting for one person or another, but it's better than entertaining. So that's why I'm really struggling with this film. Awesome. Do I want to hate it or do I want to love it? I have both. I know it's not an answer, but totally this movie doesn't neutral. Give you a fucking answer. All right,
I can dig it. I can dig it.
I think like a palindrome, you can go forwards, you can go backwards.
Well, you'd get all the heart the and thing. Care about people in the next movie. That's what would happen. But anyways, go on.
No, I mean that's pretty much where I lay. I can't give it one or the other. It lays somewhere. I guess I'm going to have to give it entertaining, because it is, and it keeps you going. But part of me really wants to hate it, but I can't, because there's so many good things in it. And by the way, I do think that if this film goes on to have any kind of a sequel prequel to it, it would have to be given to Nolan's brother, who already has an in with Amazon Prime, Jonathan Nolan, who is right now doing that show that both Beef and I are watching. Peripheral. Oh, what is it called? I always forget the name
Peripheral.
Of it. Peripheral, yeah.
Is there a universe where this film works better as a TV show?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Because it would force to re-edit it, and like you wouldn't watch it the way it's presented to us. Mm-hmm. It would give us more exposition, and it would somebody would make the call to move scenes around that it makes more sense.
I would feel that it might get too gimmicky though as a show, where they'd always be trying to do, hey, there's my other self passing in the background or foreground. Did you see it?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like every episode we'd have to have a couple of those.
But you wouldn't realize till the second half of the season what was happening.
Right.
And that would make you kind of like go back and...
Oh, you mean like Westworld?
Yeah.
Yeah, just like Westworld.
All right, last word on Tenet.
We get up to some stuff.
Plane.
Suits.
That was tough.
It's sometimes hard to talk about a movie that you expected to talk about in the summer of 2020 and then just got pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. And then, like, I didn't get to see it in the theater because of, like, viruses and then...
But this is why we're watching it now. And you know why?
Because
this is the right...
Yeah, we are doing some stuff and stuff. I don't like news, so you're not getting news. You're getting some trailers.
Kind of a slow news week.
White Noise with Adam Driver and some other people. This trailer looks... I don't know if it's funny or weird or it's end of the world, so I'm interested, but...
Has anybody read the novel?
No, but everyone's saying it's good.
Yeah, it's a good novel.
Is it?
Yes.
I am intrigued, though. It looks
fun. It's been years since I might have read it in college, I think, but...
When he's in the supermarket describing like that's hers from her third and mine from my first and our, you know, that's just, it's cute, right? And we're each other's fourth. I don't know. It looks fun. Also something that comes out today as of recording, Take Your Pills, Xanax, official trailer on Netflix.
Xanax, also a palindrome, by the way.
Yes, this is. Yes, yes, yes. This looks interesting. I didn't think I'd be that interested in it, and then it made my skin crawl, like all my OxyContin shit. So this this is definitely on my watch list for probably this weekend.
Cool.
I finished 1899 on Netflix as well.
Wow.
It's good. It's, if they come out with a second season, I will watch it. I got to episode 2 or 3, and I'm like, wow, okay, I think I know where it's going, but there's a lot of shit going on right now. I got to stick around to see if they stick the landing. And I got to episode like 6, and I'm like, I don't know if they're going to do it. And they kind of stuck the landing, wobbly. But I will watch the second season. I was intrigued by the first. I think it could be one of those shows that fundamentally changes, though, after each season. So,
okay.
Pepsi, Where's My Jet? I watched all 4 episodes of this on Netflix as well.
Does he get the jet?
Spoiler alert, he does not get the jet. But it's worth watching how it never hurts to have really good lawyers.
Okay.
But no, it's an interesting show. It's totally, it's 90s flashback or whatever. It's, you can feel the nostalgia in it.
Cool.
What about you, Mr. Daddy?
In sad news today, we lost one of the members of Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, no.
Christine McVie has passed away.
Aww.
She was 79. But now I'm thinking, I'm really worried about Stevie Nicks. Everybody take care of Stevie Nicks. We cannot lose. I'm not ready to lose Stevie Nicks. We've lost too many lately.
Is Lindsey Buckingham still in Fleetwood Mac, or did he leave?
Oh, I think he left. Mick Fleetwood. Mick Fleetwood, I think, is gone. I think he, like, passed away a few years ago.
Okay.
But, yeah, we got to keep our eye on Stevie Nicks and make sure she lasts as long as possible.
That's right.
So, they just dropped today a trailer for Elizabeth Banks' new film, and it's called Cocaine Bear.
Go on.
And it's also my trailer. One of my, I have 2 trailers. So I watched the trailer for Cocaine Bear. Oh my God. I got it. I had to watch it again.
Is this the new Sharknado, sort of?
No, it's not as bad as Sharknado. Okay. Elizabeth Banks, I don't know if you remember, she did those this acapella movies.
This looks fun.
And it just looks like so much fun. And it's based on a true story of a big cocaine drop out of an airplane and in the woods. And a bear finds the cocaine and eats the cocaine and goes on a murderous rampage, as they do.
The true story, the bear did not go on the murderous rampage, but
kind of happened.
It did overdose and was discovered 3 months later next to about 40 plastic containers of cocaine. So it was hoarding. It was hoarding the blow in another universe. In another universe, it did go on a murderous rampage.
Well, the true story is what you said, but it's based on a true story of the bear finding the cocaine.
This trailer looks amazing.
The trailer looks amazing.
And they showed like 8 kills in the trailer already, so I think this is going to be a good gory fucking romp.
It'll be a good one. And then I just saw the trailer today, another one that was dropped for, let me see if I can pronounce this right,
Wings
Chevalier.
Yeah, I think so.
Chevalier.
See, this looks good. I want to know more because, okay, this just says, you know, based on the true story.
Yeah.
So I want to know how much of it is actually true because if a third of this
true story is true. More historically accurate than Cocaine Bear.
Okay, if a third to half of this story is true, then that man lived an amazing life already.
Yes.
So if you outplay Mozart or some shit, like, I mean, come on.
And let me tell you, Amadeus is one of my favorite films. I fucking love that movie. And this is along the lines of Amadeus.
Sure.
And he's like a black composer, musician in the world of Marie Antoinette, and he's making a go of it. So it seems like a really compelling
It looks story. Really good. And that's soon, isn't it? Did we get a date or is it April 7th? Never mind. That's April, not soon. Yeah.
Okay. So, and then I went to see Wakanda Forever.
I've been waiting for this fucking review for like 6 days because he said in GroupMe, I saw Wakanda Forever. Like, I was like,
well, how was it?
And nothing. So go on.
Radio silence.
It was good. It was very, very good.
Very, very good or just good?
It was very, very good. It wasn't fantastic. It was way too long. I would have trimmed at least 20, 25 minutes out of it. It goes on for about 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Holy shizzle bacons.
Yeah, it's a long movie. There was only one post-credit scene.
Mm. Is there an intermission so you can go pee? Like just
no, I know. And the post-credit scene was just an extension of the last scene.
Oh,
so it wasn't like a whole
new
scene.
Don't even stay then.
So, I mean, it's at the end of the first set of credits after the Rihanna song ends, and then it's an epilogue, and then you could leave. The acting was great. I'm trying to think what I could say without spoiling anything.
Nothing.
Don't spoil anything because we haven't seen it.
I know. I almost said something and then I went, ooh, I can't say that.
Spoiler-free review.
But I will say this.
As a fan of Namor the Submariner from the comics, how did you feel about Namor in the film?
I feel like the underwater world that they created was 1,000 times better than anything that they did with Aquaman.
Okay, that's unspoilery enough. Nice.
It's unspoilery enough.
Okay. I like it. Shh,
careful, and then, careful. So that's good. And the beginning of the movie is it gets dusty in the theater. And the very end of the movie gets dusty in the theater.
Yeah, you have to. You got to go across Mr. Bolton.
But they did a really nice job of carrying forward.
Spoilers, where we're getting dangerous off. Close to spoilers. I feel it.
Wow.
No, I'm not.
And we're just going to with that.
This is all stuff that you want to know.
Spoilers. No, after I see the movie, it is.
We want to know that.
I'm just giving you shit.
I'm not giving you anything.
So
Wakanda blows up, everybody dies.
It was a strong move, I think, for them to choose a white guy as the next Black Panther.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
but
it works.
They sold it.
It's weird that they brought Tony Stark back from the dead.
They put him in the
How
suit.
How do you know they didn't?
They weekend at Bernie's him. And they're like, well, there we go. Okay.
And the suit is green. It's amazing.
What are you up to, Lobster?
All right, so I got a vent here. I got a bone to fucking pick. You all know that I'm a big fan of Knives Out.
No, what's that?
The Rian Johnson whodunit, the first one. Big fan. I was so excited to go see in theaters Glass Onion, a Knives Out mystery, sequel, the long-awaited.
And why didn't you?
Sequel. Because it was only showing at 700 theaters in the United States and only for 1 week during the Thanksgiving holiday, and the closest theater to me was over an hour away.
Then clearly you're not as big of a fan as you say.
Yeah,
I'm just
I don't care
saying
about the movie.
Yeah.
So it not only did it overperform and like sell out theaters, the estimation was, the first one was a big box office hit, right? So the estimation was that if this had opened wide in as many theaters as the original, it would have been a bigger box office success if you multiplied out the number of theaters. And again, Netflix is only releasing this for a week. So you've lost your chance. You can't go see it in theaters at all now. So no sort of like word of mouth to go see it. The only way you can watch it now is at home on Netflix, but not until December 23rd. You have to wait another month or so to watch it. I see Rum Daddy waving his hands and saying, bullshit, who gives a shit? But some people to see movies they're excited for on the big screen.
People with no taste.
Lobster, you know why he doesn't care? is because he still hasn't gotten past the login screen of Netflix. They changed it.
Oh, that's right. He won't be able to watch it.
He won't be able to watch it and pitch about it.
No, he'll be screwed.
I think about that every time I log in now. I think about your own daddy.
I kind of, I get why Netflix is doing it, to, I guess, drive people to subscribe to Netflix to watch this movie. But on the other hand, like, they could have made a lot of money by releasing it in movie theaters.
Yeah, 2 months of my pay, or at least a month and a half of my pay by one movie ticket.
Right. So it's sort of crazy. I don't know. The reviews are really strong. People are saying it's good, if not better than the first one. So it's just,
well, it can't be any worse.
That's certainly an opinion.
I like the first one. You just don't like stuff. It's okay.
He just doesn't like stuff. So again, that's my gripe. That's really my news story. There were a couple other things I could have picked out, but I just wanted to.
But I'm looking here now. Your news story. You have three of them, and let me see. It says,
Glass Onion. The other one,
New Knives Out movie. They're all Glass Onion.
Yeah, that's
stuff.
Why he yeah, talked it's about all the about same
harp,
thing.
Harping on the same thing. So.
A trailer, which is surprisingly better than I thought it was going to be.
Is it?
it punches me in my nostalgic mushroom. How about that?
Does it?
Right at the very end, it does. There's a little bit of
Rainbow Road. Is it Rainbow Road?
It's the sound. It's the outro music. We're talking about the new Super Mario Brothers movie.
Super Mario Brothers.
The animated one.
Full-ish trailer. I
wasn't in there till the end. And then I was like, okay, maybe. Not that I'm going to pay for it, but I'll watch it at home when it's free.
I guess where I come down on this is it telling a story or is it just meta-referencing itself?
It's going to be all meta-reference, but I think there's an actual story. I think because it looks like they diverge a bit from...
Right, sort of the lore.
Yeah,
of
the
Mario
princess Brothers. Isn't gone. It didn't look like yeah, it looked no. like she was kicking ass with him. So something else happened.
I don't know. At one time, I probably would have been excited for this, but I don't know. Like
excited
it's just,
is a stretch.
Are the Toads the new Minions? Like, is that what they're just setting up? Is that? I mean, I know it's Illumination, but
yeah.
Rum Daddy, what do you think?
I don't have children, nor will I have children, so I really
but you've
don't
played
care.
Mario Brothers, like you yes, played Mario
actually,
Kart.
I got,
you
okay,
these
true story.
Games,
story
right?
time. Like, true story.
Sure.
I gave 1 year. I gave my mother a Nintendo for Christmas.
Nice.
And she was like late 50s and stuff. She mastered Mario Brothers. She rescued the princess several times, and then she went back and she found all the cheats.
Nice.
That was my mom.
Aww. All right, so recommendation. This is a wild one. This is not something that's current or even in production. It's a unaired pilot for 2009 comedy series that got leaked onto YouTube. It's called Boldly Going Nowhere. It's from the same people who made Always Sunny and Mythic Quest. I found this by like accident and watched it. I thought it was hilarious. I think Beef should watch it. I think he'll like it for the cast and humor. I think Rum Daddy will appreciate the fact that it puts the Orville to shame in just one episode. So it's a spaceship. They're on a galactic voyage and hijinks ensue. It's sort of like a workplace comedy, but way funnier and like more polished than I thought it would be for like an unfinished pilot.
Like I said,
I look forward to seeing it.
Yeah, leave this link up or move it to somewhere else in the doc.
Yeah,
I
check it
watch
out.
It
just Google or on YouTube, look up Boldly Going Nowhere. You'll find it. It's pretty funny.
All right.
Beef,
let's double time a spoiler free review. Rum Daddy's got to be out in 4 minutes. Andor, Disney, phenomenal. The way it finished, I agree. It is now my favorite Star Wars property of all time.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yep. What I love about Andor is that they've done what none of the other ones have done, which is they've created a universe or world or whatever that feels lived in.
Yeah, except for the clothes. The clothes, the bright colors and shit towards some of the end episodes don't feel very lived in. They need to be washed a few more times. I really like it. I still like The Mandalorian. I still like some other Star Wars, but I just like this better. The Peripheral, I watched two or three more episodes last night. I have one left. I am really liking it. This show is fucking dark and brutal. When it goes dark and brutal, like the stuff with the army dude and the stuff with the hired killer.
Spoilers.
Now,
The thing with the dog. Ugh, that's it. That's all just, I have to say.
It's all fucking weird. It's all tied together. It's all really dark and brutal. When they go that way, it's intense and it's hard to watch, but not hard to watch. It's like you can't turn your eyes away. It's like a train wreck. I mean, no, never mind. Rum Daddy, what about you?
I want to talk about one thing really quick. Last night, it seems to be, we're getting all the screeners for movies now and DVDs because they want members of the Academy and stuff to watch them. And I don't know why I'm not a member of the Film Academy, but I am a member of the union. So what are you doing?
You're going to put those in the mail to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. I will do what I can.
No, don't do
that. But we're getting movies, and we're also getting invited to FYC events because I guess there's a lot of award shows besides the Oscars that are coming up, and the award shows are union-based award shows.
It's a long way to a humble brag.
Whatever. So we've been getting invitations to FYCs. Last night we went to see The Boys. And Bragger. The episode was Herogasm, which I forgot what a great episode it was.
Yeah.
So here, like, the whole episode is just fantastic. And then they always have, like, you know, a Q&A, and it was the Q&A was with Kripke. And then afterwards, because Amazon loves to throw money at these things. They always put on a good show. So they had, like, cocktail, like, wine and beer and, like, people walking around with trays of food up on the roof of this really nice hotel in West Hollywood. And I actually run into Kripke, and I got to meet Kripke, and I sat there and talked to him for almost a half hour, just bullshitting about Supernatural.
Showrunner for Supernatural, The Boys, et cetera.
Et cetera. And the one thing that he said that was really interesting was how he captains the writer's room and how all of his shows, it's all about, he says 80% of it is trying to find the characters and that emotional arc that they want the character to go through. And it's a deep dive into their psychology of the characters and the emotional drive. And then after they figure out the emotional character arc, then he starts coming up with story plot points of how to get to those. Whereas a lot of showrunners do the reverse. So yeah. I just thought that was brilliant. Shows that I've been watching. Andor, Drink Masters on Netflix, still great. Peripheral, we talked about that. Great British baking show. Great American baking show, holiday edition, because it's the holidays and now I'm watching all the baking shows. Bob's Burgers, hilarious. Their Thanksgiving special was great. And I saw the first episode of Mythic Quest, and everyone's back, and it's just as funny as it was before. Except the old guy, who has left to go and do something else.
White Lotus.
That's right, White Lotus. Lobster.
Soccer?
Football.
Football, football.
Football is life.
American football is life. Hand egg. The Big Brunch, I guess we watched an episode or two of that. And a lot of Hallmark movies.
Oh, no. It's that time of year.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
it's that time of year. So we watched one the other night, and Bruce Campbell was in it, like, randomly, had, like, a lead role. And I was like, this is amazing. This is Bruce Campbell. He's doing a Hallmark movie. And then it got kind of dusty in, like, the Hallmark movie that he was in. And, yeah, it was good. So that was exciting.
Those Hallmark movies, they crank them out. They shoot them really fast. They crank them out.
Yeah.
They have the same town that they're all shot in.
A lot of same actors, yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All
you still haven't right. started. You still haven't started Ted Lasso yet?
No.
Get on that.
Next time, Legends Podcast, we return to Middle Earth. Why?
Do we have
for the
to?
20th Why? Anniversary of the Lord of the Rings, Two Towers?
20 years.
Why?
20 years.
I don't.
It's going to take 20 years to get through this film.
Yeah.
Is this Start one watching now. Better than the other one?
Yes.
No, this is the worst of the three.
No, it's the best of the three.
No, it's oh the it's God. The most yes, it boring thing.
No, I'm best of the three.
Not
watch
care
it.
To anyways, yep. have a
Can
comment.
Can we watch the truncated version, or am I going to watch the 4-hour version?
You guys
version?
Don't have to show up next week. I'll have talk to myself.
Comment, question, or recommendation. Email It'll us at legendspodcasts with a legendspodcasts at gmail.com with
I broke, an extra S I broke B
for Seder or Twin Towers. Fuck. This has been episode 603 of Legends
Sauron
Podcast.
And
I'm
Sauron.
Beef saying, ew, more elves and shit. I wanted to keep them separate, and I was just about to start the Rings of Power.
This will psych you up for that.
No, it won't.
No. No, it won't.
I'm
John
Rum
the Lobster
Daddy
saying goodbye.
I'm sorry, this is Rum Daddy, he fell asleep.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. You can also send us an email to legendspodcasts@gmail.com. That is podcast plural. For all our contact information as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com. You can also visit legendspodcast.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on the show is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incomputech.com. The opinions on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legendstream Canada or Gunna Geek. No infringement is intended.